WNYC Studios is supported by the Brennan Center for Justice, presenting The Failed Experiment of Mass Incarceration. This virtual event on Wednesday, April 17th at 3 p.m. will feature criminal justice advocates and contributors to the new book, Excessive Punishment: How the Justice System Creates Mass Incarceration. They will discuss why the American approach to criminal justice is so punitive and how reforms would prioritize human dignity and restoration over retribution. Find more information and register for this event at brennancenter.org/events.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehr on WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio. And we're going to end this hour with the Bread and Puppet Theater. For five decades, they've produced performances that are politically charged, visually stunning, and a little offbeat. In the 1970s, they left New York for Vermont, but they're back in the East Village for a few weeks to mount a new production and commemorate their 50th anniversary. Peter Schumann is the founder and artistic director of Bread and Puppet Theater, and he joins us now. Peter, welcome to WNYC.
Hey, thank you.
Sure. You're speaking to us from the Theater for the New City, where you're preparing a new production that opens this Thursday, Possibilitarians and Dead Man Rises. First, tell us about these shows.
It's a program that is composed of one very old piece from the mid-60s, Dead Man Rises. It's a short piece, and sort of most notably performed for the students at Columbia University when they occupied the university, and they asked us to come to join them, and we decided to bring that foolish piece there. So, good, that was that piece. And the Possibilitarians, those are uprisers and revolutionaries, and that's the other piece. And it's a big puppet show with gigantic puppets and all the different aspects of puppetry as we practice it.
And it's about the Possibilitarians is about the diggers, the 17th century agrarian movement.
Yeah.
Just to kind of give us what was that movement for people not aware?
Right, so it was the diggers. They also called themselves the ranters or the levelers, and they were quite a small group of landless farmers in England in the 17th century who rose up and claimed the commons for their agriculture. So they simply said, here's the commons, that means it's the common land, that means it belongs to us, it says so in the Bible, etc. And then they started planting potatoes and corn there. And naturally, they were beaten up and chased off, and their cabins were burned down, and it wasn't a very long-lasting revolution, but it was quite powerful, and it set an example to many people. Maybe people remember in the 60s there was a California movement, a large group of people who went around in buses all over the country, and they called themselves the Diggers after that digger movement.
They were the Diggers in the 60s in San Francisco. The Bread and Puppet Theater started in New York in the early 1960s. Did you communicate with them back then? Do you remember?
Yeah, we met up with them several times with their fleet of buses. I remember once at Goddard College, they took so much parking space, nobody else could get in there. So, yeah, I remember meeting them.
They packed your parking lot at Goddard College.
<you're saying>. Yes.
So for the uninitiated people who have not seen the Bread and Puppet Theater, we have a clip from a summer performance in 2011. We talked to Tom Wilbur earlier about fracking. Here's the Bread and Puppet take on fracking.
A hole in the land may be quite detrimental, but fracking is the world's best friend. Don't you take a stand, 'cause we're making potential for domestic wealth. Forget about your health.
So that from a 2011 show in Vermont by the Bread and Puppet Theater. So I understand you initially started 50 years ago doing shows for kids. Do they always have these political messages?
No, we didn't really start for kids. We did shows for kids all along, but we never started a puppet theater thinking of it as kids theater. We always wanted to play themes.
So it started with the politics first.
Yeah, we stepped into the street. Most of our early shows were done in the street, really. If you look into the, what was it called in New York, there was a left-wing paper, The Guardian, I think. There you can find pictures from the year 62 with us playing in the street and so forth.
So I want to ask you about puppetry at the time, because this was, again, pre-Sesame Street, pre-Muppet Show. What was the cultural context for puppets showing up in performances?
Well, there wasn't any, not at this time, even though America had very lively parading puppets and things like this earlier in the more social movement time in the 20s and so on. But that was all forgotten. So basically when we came, America was deeply into kids' puppetry, just foam rubber puppetry with wiggling eyes and mouth and so forth. Nothing much of great interest to me. So, no, that wasn't our source. Our source was the good old puppet theater like Punch and Judy and Casper and Guignol and so on. These were all rebels against the system, you know. So that's what we took our inspiration from.
And of course, bread is also a key part of what you do at the Bread and Puppet Theater. It sounds poetic, but it's also quite literal.
It's very literal. I just baked a couple of 100 pounds of bread at home. I have a big old clay oven that I built 30 or 40 years ago, and you light the fire in there, snow or no snow, doesn't matter. And then you clean out the floor and toss the loaves in there, and that an hour later you pull out bread that you can't imitate in any other bakery.
Huh. So why bread? Why incorporate bread into your performances?
Well, art is something that feeds you. You can't eat it, but it feeds you. So in order to demonstrate that point, you need bread.
I see. So you founded the theater company in New York City in the early 1960s, but in the 1970s, you relocated to Vermont. So since we're looking back at your 50-year history, why make that move from the East Village in New York up to Vermont?
Oh, it was an invitation from a left-wing college, Goddard College, a radical educational institution in mid-Vermont that we couldn't refuse. It was too gorgeous. And plus, New York City was getting very tough for us. We had gone to Europe on tour. When we came back, the police had taken over our working space and had put a lock on it. They had tossed us out, in other words. And so we were in pretty bad shape. So we were very glad to be invited to Vermont.
It seems to me that parallels sort of the movement in the 1970s towards intentional communities and kind of back to the land in some ways. But I wonder how that affected your audiences when you're doing performances on the street in the East Village on political themes versus doing it in Vermont, where many of your audience members have to travel and make it there. So maybe they already agree with you when they show up.
Yeah, that may be so, but we don't just play to our audiences who come to us. We go into the streets of many small towns and villages and perform there as well. So the summer is full of parading, political parading, often puppet shows on a pretty large scale in many towns of Vermont.
And you mentioned that Dead Man Rises, the production that opens this Thursday, is a performance that you did in 1968 with the occupation at Columbia University. What's been your relationship with Occupy Wall Street? Have you been in close touch with them, and what do you make of that movement?
Well, we are very much involved with that movement, and a lot of our shows have very similar themes to the occupiers, and we would say that is a continuation of what was done in the mid-60s. And we happily align with them, and we sloganeer with them, and we try to improve the sloganeering as much as we can, just make the issues stronger, bigger, and with more sculpture, more paint, whatever we can find.
So you've done some sloganeering consulting? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yes, that's what our shows are, sloganeering consultations, if you want.
I see. And how important is rhyming when you're putting together slogans that are going to stick?
That can also help, yeah.
And so you're the founder and the artistic director of the Bread and Puppet Theater. So the other thing you do that we haven't talked a lot about is building puppets that are part of your performance. I just wonder, just talk me through what it's like to build a puppet. What are the different tools that you use? I understand that you use, you reuse a lot of materials when you're putting together, new puppets.
Yeah, we do. We just figured out that in the last 40 years, we spent already about $40 on the puppets, with these thousands of puppets that we built, because we built our puppets from garbage.
Uh-huh.
We go, first of all, we dig clay. There's a river nearby that has a big clay deposit, so we dig out the clay, then we sculpt the heads. Then we cover these faces with cornstarch, with cardboard that's soaked in water, and that we then dip into the cornstarch glue, and then cover the clay with that and let it dry, and that's the puppet. And 40 years ago, we bought half a ton of cornstarch on sale, and that's the only expense we have is those puppets, other than a little bit of paint.
Wow.
So that's how it goes. Yeah, if you want to be cheap artist, that's it.
Well,
you
got to
be a puppeteer.
I understand you. So you say you build puppets out of garbage, but you also have a puppet graveyard. So talk me through the end-of-life decision-making for puppets.
Well, the graveyard is usually a bonfire at the end of the summer where a lot of puppets get burned in a spectacle of fire-making. Yeah, that happens a lot. So, yeah, the puppets are large, and we cannot always store all of them, so there are also large destructions of puppets going on, I must say.
And
involuntary and voluntary, both ways.
And tell me sort of, again, articulate your sort of cheap art philosophy, and as you talked about buying a half a ton of cornstarch, why is it important to make art that's cheaply done and then also accessible and cheap to afford?
Well, in any which way, we are an art commune. We are between 5 and 100 people in the performances. And we don't like the idea to ask the corporate system for money, and we don't like the idea to ask the cultural institutions that the government has for money.
So you figured out how to keep it going
for
50 years. Peter Schaumann is the founder and artistic director of the Bread and Puppet Theater. Thank you so much for joining us. In tomorrow, hosting Mike Pesca, I'm Anna Sale, and for Brian Lehrer.